Okay. I guess the tape recorder was insulted. I said something not nice, so it turned off. What? Hashoich them. Maybe there's a hacker over here that's hacked in. Hashoich them heim ha mis anigim lish koiv al mitois shein. These are the people which mis anigim, they take delight. They are they live a life of luxury. Al mitois shein on ivory usiluchim al mitois sam parsu. What does this mean? Siluchim parsu sedinim aduchim uruchavim. They spread out sheets,
lounge
sheets which are long and wide. Oyfim ba'arich v'rechav al mitois lechvoid l'tiferes. So he's translating the mitzvahs David. I told you a very nasty pshat. Okay, we'll get to that soon. We'll get to that soon, but the literal pshat of the Mitzudas Dava means Sunuchim Loshnaf, to spread out. To spread out. They spread out upon their beds these beautiful quilts, linen, whatever they put out in order that it should be comfortable when they lie down on their bed. We'll see more in a few moments. Next Pasuk, Karim Mitzrayim, Pasuk page 334 in the Mitzudas Dava on the bottom. They are Karim, they are lambs Mitzrayim, they're not Tzayim, Yiv Riru Es HaKarim, La'achilas, and they select the best. Okay, the Karim are look at on the left side in the Mitzudos Sion, Kivasim Shemeinim, the fat ones. Okay, the fatter ones, these are the best of the Tzon. There are many categories: grade A, grade B, grade C. They select only grade A for dinner. Next words of the Mitzudos Davim Mitoch Marbeik, Mimakoyim Shenispatmu Shama, the place where they are fattened. Pasuk Hey Haportim Heim Hamizah Heim Zamarim al pi hanavol nigunim yichidim v'nifrodim shloitid ve'achas lechaverit. Okay, I told you in the other pshat. I told you that the people over here, the prat is built on the individual. They think they're so special that they deserve to sing solo. That's not what the Mitzudos Dami says. He says it means they sing unique songs. Each song is one of a kind. One of a kind. Things that you've never heard before. They're not just the run of the mill. They are entertained by the most exquisite music that society has to offer. Kidavid heimachoshvim es atzmam bidvar klei hashilios kidavid melech yisrael lenagen al klei shir. They think they're just as good as David. Kibosh nigen hu, like David sang. David played the musical instruments. He composed melodies. Uchoimer haloi ein lechem erech v'yichus imo. And here the Navi is criticizing the Jewish people. You have no shaychus to David melech yisrael. David was a holy person. Who do you think you are? Who shar shir Hashem? He sang songs to Hashem. Behemo lechein, you are singing songs to yourself. Pasuk vav b'mizrakayayin lo yishtu b'chayusas kiim b'mizrakim b'nei mida miruba. He translates with the mizrakay, not metal. We'll see that soon. He learns they very large, double size. Okay, double portion. They only drank a lot. They did not drink in measure. They only smear upon their bodies the most expensive oils and anointments. They have no pain when they recognize the suffering that will come upon Yosef. I told you another pshat. I told you what the Malam said yesterday. The Mitzudas Dava learns the Pasuk very simply. They don't feel any pain in recognition that this path of life will lead to their destruction. Yosef here, according to the Mitzudos, is a reference to the entire Klal Yisrael. Why is the entire Klal Yisrael called by the name of Yosef? Because Yosef hu amashpir. Yosef was the sustainer. The one that provides Parnasa, he gets the honor. So the entire Klal Yisrael is called after Yosef. And the people over here who are living a life of luxury, they don't realize that this path of life will bring about their own destruction, and they are not pained in recognizing where this is heading. It will lead to the destruction of Klal Yisrael.
And ignoring the suffering of the common people.
No, so he doesn't say that.
Because when he says Yosef represents
Klal Yisrael, yeah.
So we're not just talking about the ones on the other side of the border. We're talking about the common people. And we talked already about the injustices done and so on. So.
Okay. Okay, next. Yeah.
this is my own feeling. I feel that today the people who are very, 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 very fancy, very, very wealthy and everything, but they do also give a lot to Stockholm. So you have both. You know,
So bribe. We discussed that. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu was not interested. Hashem wants mishpat Stockholm. There's no such thing. You can't bribe Hashem. There's one element of doing good deeds, but the good deeds do not necessarily atone for a lifestyle of corruption.
They're not corrupt. I'm saying they're corrupt. People, Baruch Hashem, they have a lot of money. What are they supposed to do? They're not supposed to spend their money?
Of course they're supposed to spend their money. But don't spend their money in someone else's face. Don't.
They make a simcha. I mean, it's extraordinary, these simchas. They have a wedding, $100,000 wedding. What are they supposed to do?
I don't know the answer. Obviously,
and these people do give stuff.
They do give stuff.
Lakewood has rules, right? About weddings.
Not necessarily. No, there are no rules. There are no rules. Takanos. They don't know takanos. You do whatever you want. There are certain halls which are takana halls which like they charge. I think they make a wedding for $15,000, even less. And in fact, now there are so many weddings that they make a rule now, and there are so many weddings. There's such a demand for these halls in Lakewood that many people in New York who have no connection whatsoever to Lakewood, they make weddings in Lakewood because it's less than half the price. So the problem is there are not enough days in the year for the people who live in Lakewood to make their simchas in Lakewood, because the people in Brooklyn are hogging the halls. So that now I think they're enacting that if you don't live in Lakewood, sorry, we will not take you. We will not allow you to make a wedding because we have to give priority to the people of the community. We just don't have enough days in the year to allow for this. They started now in Manhattan Beach. Manhattan Beach Jewish Center. I went there to a wedding. It was a very, very beautiful wedding. They make a takon in Manhattan Beach Jewish Center. This is an organization. This organization which guarantees. It guarantees a very wonderful organization. They guarantee this the Manhattan Beach a certain number of weddings, and it's given to them and they have to give them that money no matter what. And this organization guarantees to pay. It's called Chasdei Leiv. They guarantee to give them a certain amount of money, and the organization now is able to distribute those days at a very deep discount to people who cannot afford to make these lavish weddings. They have certain takanos. I went to this. You could tell the difference. I went to a wedding.
Square has you give them if you want to make a wedding in Square. I mean, you have to be part of the community, but you don't have a right. You don't get to tell them what you want at the wedding.
Right.
You give them whatever it is.
They have the musician. They have the photographer.
And you don't get to choose or decide.
Right, but
what you want.
This is a lot of these things today are done not because of takanos. It's done as a chesed. It used to be years ago they tried to make a takana. Everyone should know by your wedding you're not allowed to have more than a certain number of musicians. You can't have a certain. You can't have this. You can't have that. No one listened. So it was a disaster. Everyone does whatever they want to do, and they gave up. They really today, if you want to go make a wedding, because no one's stopping you, can make $1 million. No one's going to stop you. Today there are organizations that realize that there are people who can't afford. So therefore they step in and they say, we're doing you a chesed. If you can't afford a wedding, so just this is what it costs and this is what you're going to get. It's not because of a takana. It's not guidelines. In the Litvisha Olam, there are no guidelines. In the Hasidim, there are guidelines. Because the Hasidim listen to their Rebbe. Okay? In Babov, in Satmar, they have a Rebbe. The Rebbe says this, that's the way it is. No one's going to violate the law.
But then also, when the Rebbe makes a wedding,
then it's lavish. Then it's on YouTube. On YouTube, 100,000 Hasidim, unbelievable, in a Hanami. So don't, I don't know.
They have a standard that flies from Belgium.
You're right, that's the rules. When the Rebbe makes a simcha,
it's square if you want to make it more, so let's say you're a very wealthy guy, you want to, the is a luxury tax, just like in, you have in sports over there. Yes. If you want to spend more, okay, you could spend more, but then you have to pay above and beyond for
Stocker. So a chassidus, a rebbe can do that. The Litvaks don't listen to their Rosh Yeshiva. They don't. Right. It's a fact. If the Gedolei, if the people in the Rosh Yeshivas in Lake would tell everyone to vote for this politician, they'll do just the opposite. It's a fact. It's a fact. That's how it is. They do just the opposite. It was in the Holocaust, a terrible mice. It was a mice where there was Chassidim who their Rebbe already was exiled during the Holocaust, and they did not know what to do. Should they stay put or should they flee? It was a dilemma they had no answer to. So the story was, these Hasidim, they went to a very choshev rav, very big rav, very big talmid chacham, for hadracha. What should we have a very big dilemma. Should we run away or should we stay? So this gadol told them to stay. Listen to what happened. So the Hasidim right away, they ran away. They just the opposite. Later on, after the war was over, they met this gadol and they said, had we listened to you, we would have been dead. So the Rosh Yeshiva said to them very seriously, I know that. That's why I told you to stay. Because I know my customers. I know good and well that whatever I tell you to do, you'll do l'hachas, you'll do the opposite. So I told you to stay because I knew good and well you're going to run away. And he meant it. He was dead serious. At least that's the way they write it up. He was dead serious. And that's why you owe me your life. Because if I would have told you to run away, you would have stayed, and then you would be dead. Okay, now that story is a yoytze min haklal. Okay, that's an exceptional story, if it's even true. But there's something to it, unfortunately. There's something to it. There's a psychology about this. There's something to it. Look, I told you what the joke, the bitter galacha, an American comes to Eretz Yisrael, gets to a taxi, and the taxi driver goes on the highway and he starts speeding like a meshugana, and then all of a sudden he comes to a red light, he comes to a green light, it's a green light, and he slams his foot on the brakes, and the car comes to a screeching stop, and the guy, what's going on over here? No, all the way around. First he comes to a red light, and as he comes to a red light, he puts the pedal to the metal, and the American, what in the world is going on over here? He puts the pedal to the metal, and there's a red light. Comes to another red light. He puts the pedal to the metal, zoom. And then all of a sudden there's a green light, and he slams on the brake. So he says, what in the world is going on over here? So the taxi driver turns around and says to him very seriously, it's a green light? Don't you understand? If it's green for me, it means it's red for someone else. Okay, this is a bitter gelechta. But enachanami. Okay, let's go further over here. Let's continue in the mitzudos of v'lechein. Therefore, b'omo pasuk zayin in the mitzudos of v'lechein. Therefore, hoyel v'lechein asu. Because you have done these terrible crimes, atanab bezvan kodav, in a very short time, yiglu b'roish goylim, ritzer loymar b'mifchar hagoylim, b'bezoyoin rav. You will be the first to go into exile, and the world will be watching, the world will be talking, it will be a very great disgrace to the Jewish people, ki kumo b'dvarim toivim ye'omar l'shoin roish u'mifchar, just like the word roish is always used in reference to greatest, so too, b'loshin b'zoyoin, we want to go talk, who are the people that are the most despised, the most embarrassed, who suffer the most, yomar l'shoin roish u'mifchar al toiv, shebchulim kein b'dvarim ro'im, ye'omar l'shoin roish u'mifchar al hara shebekulon. The same word is used in reference to being selected as for distinction in disgrace. In the next words, for so when this happens, it will go away. Mirzach siruchim. Oz then yosir mehem hamishto ois hagidolois. The word the mizrach is the parties. Ha'oitfois me hashiur haroi. What? Marzeach. What does it mean, marzeach?
That's the parties.
The parties. So. Mirzach.
No.
What's the spelling here? Vesar Mirzach. Mirzach Siruchim.
That must be the
Yosu Aleihem now. Oz Yosim Hem Hamishois Hagdolois Hoytfois Mehashiur Horoi Oi Oz Yosu Aleihem Avelus Gidolois the Oytfois Bishiur. Another translation. It will be Yosur, it will be turned towards them. Yosur Aleihem. In this interpretation, he's translating then the Sar, it will turn towards them, not away from them. Mirzach Siruchim is an expression which we have to see a little more detail in the Mefarshim, an abundance of Avelos. Mirzach, in this context, means mourning. Okay, we'll see that, I think, in the Radak, we'll elaborate a little bit more. It means mourning. It will turn towards them horrible mourning. So either it means that it's going to turn, you'll put an end to the nonsense, to the party, or the other way around, the suruach, the filthiness that accompanies pain and suffering and mourning will turn towards you because of your terrible sins. Let's take a look at Rashi. Going back to Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, back on page 332. Usruchim al ar soysam. Hashem over here is coming to criticize Klal Yisrael that they are living a life of luxury and doing averos. Mish tatchim u'ma'arichin atzmon al ar soysam. This simply means they stretch out. Okay, so right away we have a difference between the Mitzudos and Rashi. The Mitzudos says the word Suruach means to stretch, but the subject of the stretch is of linen quilts, beautiful material that's very comfortable. According to Rashi, the subject of the word stretch is the person. The person lies out on these beds, he stretches himself out in a lazy way. Rashi really is alluding to the fact that in ancient times, this is a very interesting thing to study online, how did you sleep? There are two ways to sleep. We today sleep in a lazy way. We just lie down and let everything just go. Spread out, whatever position you can find yourself comfortable in, that's what you do. You twist this way, that way, on your back, on your stomach, on the side, even though in Shulchan Aruch it tells you to do certain things. But the common man today, that's a halacha that for whatever reason is not observed very much. People just lie spread out. In ancient times, there was a science that you sleep with discipline. There's a very disciplined way to sleep. You put yourself in a very, very specific form. You lie at a very specific angle. Your head is slightly elevated. Your body has to be just perfect. Discipline. To do this the first time, it's torture. To sleep in such a fast person in a straitjacket, that's how you're going to sleep. I need to lie, move my hands and stretch and this and that. But it appears that if you do this, if you discipline yourself to sleep like this, you'll get a sleep like you never had. You'll a rested sleep, you'll wake up the next morning, you'll be able to sleep a lot less, you'll get a lot more for a lot less. You can sleep 3-4 hours, and it's equivalent to having slept for 20 hours, better than 20 hours. The benefit that the body gets from sleeping is not to be imagined. But there's a condition. You have to know how to sleep. If you sleep with discipline, the benefits are enormous. Today, this art has been lost from us. And you can study this online. And there's a lot of the farsh that discuss this idea by Paro, by Yaakov Avinu, by Yishtachu Yisrael al Roish Hamita. What does it mean, the Roish Hamita? What does it mean, the Kare Hamita? They tie the Karban Pesach to the Kare Hamita. They lie down al Roish Hamita. The beds of ancient times are not the beds of today. The beds of ancient times were very small, and they were very different. They forced you to put yourself in a very, very precise position to discipline yourself as you slept, because it brought your body enormous benefit. This thing sounds like Greek to anyone today, such a concept. To discipline yourself when you sleep. And all the doctors and the psychologists will tell you this is crazy, it's nonsense. When you go to sleep, just let it lie loose. Just be in the state of efkeris. They had very, very interesting beds. The beds, you have to go to the museums. You go to a museum, go to the Jewish Museum, Rabbi Deutsch in Borough Park, the Jewish Museum, he has there what it means. He shows you what an ancient bed looks like, and you'll be shocked.
It's not in the old homes, you take a look, I mean, besides the people being shorter, but they said they were made to sleep, a little bit more sitting up.
There's a whole different technique of how to sleep, the chokhmah behind sleeping. And we don't have this today. And here, the Rashi is coming to criticize, and if you appreciate the words of Rashi, and you understand the background to what it was like, that's exactly what these people did. They were like Americans. Like Americans, is that instead of the common, the disciplined technique of going to sleep, which was not very comfortable, but yet brought person great benefit, they just spread out.
The airlines do it now.
They spread out. Oh, the airlines do it. Very good, right? The airlines do it now. They torture you. They torture you. So this is what it means. You have to appreciate the devil Rashi, mishtatchim. They spread out their bodies. That's not the way you're supposed to sleep. You're supposed to sleep with your body confined, not spread out. But these were lazy people. They let their bodies just spread out. Uma'arichin atzman. What?
In a lounging
position. Uma'arichin. They let their legs and their arms lie length. That's not what you're supposed to. You're supposed to be makatzer. You're supposed to crawl up like a baby in the mother's womb. You have to study all this. There is such a, there are different techniques, but all the techniques have in common. You don't spread out, and you're not ma'arich. You confine yourself to a very limited space, and that has a very great effect on your body and on your mind. And your body rejuvenates, and your mind is refreshed in a very short time. It's reset in a very short time, and you're a whole different person. And this does not exist today, as far as I know. I never heard of this. Sleeping schools? There's a lot of study today. In the last 10, 50 years, sleep apnea, it's a big, big thing. It's a big business.
But you have meds.
There's a lot of things today going on today. A lot of studies, and you'll see the day will come when they'll come back to this. They'll come back to this. They'll say, if you want to get a good night's sleep, sleep in a straitjacket. I'm not joking. You're gonna hear about this one day. They're gonna come to realize that the position that you put yourself in, they already do with babies. I was shocked out of my mind. I once went to a kiddush for a newborn baby. It must have been already 3 weeks after the baby was born, and they had the baby on display. Well, you know, of course, with a thing on the head, right? Torturing the baby. And the baby was in a straitjacket. Mom, it's a straitjacket. So I said to the kid, what are you doing to the poor kid? You're putting in a straitjacket? What are you torturing this little creature here? Just, you don't understand, they said to me. This is cutting edge technology. The baby, it sleeps better, it feels better when it's confined in a very, very precise position. Okay, then Rahman will start, if the baby, if something happens to the baby, then they'll go and they'll sue the doctor for this. Okay, whatever you do is no good. But you see that there is already, if these people, which are very run of these people that I know, they're very, you know, ordinary, they don't have any hiccups on any mishigasim, and they were doing this because the doctor encouraged them to do this, and the baby should get a good night's sleep. Obviously, today there's more of an understanding that when you sleep, there's something special. So when you have that understanding, that background, and you read this Rashi, it's a whole new Rashi. The criticism over here is usiruchim al arsoisan. The word usiruach means you spread out on your bed. What's so terrible to spread out on your bed? Undisciplined, correct. Lazy, undisciplined. Nothing is important in this world. There's no goal for tomorrow. If you have a goal for tomorrow, you're going to get a good night's sleep. If you couldn't care less what's going to be tomorrow, then you don't care about getting a good night's sleep. You're just lazy in how you sleep. That's Rashi says, not with the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, they spread out, they have water beds. And they have fancy quilts and linens and who knows what, and fortune, these very expensive things. That's not what Rashi says. The subject of the pasuk is the person, and the person is lazy when he sleeps. Let's go further. Rabbi Seinu Perishu. This is what I mentioned to you in the first parish that I told you. This is the Jush. This is a nasty, nasty pshat, and it means they sleep with women who are the wives of other men. Okay, they're nichshol in gilui aroyos. And that's what it means, usiruchim. Usiruchim in this interpretation does not mean to spread out. It means a dovar soruach, something that is foul, something which is repulsive. they behave when they go to sleep in a repulsive way by being with women who are not are the wives of other men. Machlifin nishoy sehem zeloze. They switch wives. Umasrichin arsoy sehem b'shichva zera, and they soil their beds with shichva zera she'ena shelohem, which is not theirs. Now that's a very hard thing. What does that mean? It's their bed. So what do you mean shichva zera? That's not theirs. What?
That's not their wife.
So then those words, these words do not make sense. The women do not have, at least women do not, on the outside, they do not produce on the bed shichva zera.
Okay, but if they have partners who are not their husbands,
yes,
right, then they're fouling the nest, so to speak.
Okay, so you want to see just an expression, it's not to be translated literally. So there's a much more unpleasant translation, understanding of this word. You know what this means? It means mishkav zachar. There are two things. Number one is the machlifin nishoseyem zeloze. Okay, now that means it's only their shichva zera, because the isha doesn't produce shichva zera mibachutz. And then Rashi says there's something else that they do. They're nichshol in mishkav zochar umasrichin arsoseyem b'shichva zera she'eino shelohem. That means mishkav zochar. So he's telling us here that there are two different complaints Hashem is making. Number one is Hashoichvim al mitoy shein. This is an allusion to noshim that are not their own. And number two is the nichshal usiruchim al arsoisam. They are masriach their beds. With the words of Rashi, there's a second Avera, two different types of Averas. Okay, so that's one approach to this pasuk. If you look over here let's look over here in the Sifsei Zikhanim, or his base.
He doesn't say that,
okay, doesn't say, but he says something a little bit different. Look at how he types over here. Zeloze, usruchim al arsoy, sam ma, shuchrach Rashi zal, lohavi oid harabo se nazal, dukoshule. Why does Rashi need to quote to cite the Maimon Chazal? And he's telling us because it doesn't seem that the punishment fits the crime. Just because they're lazy, you got up a little bit late, and you're not disciplined when you sleep, you have fancy linen, and you spread out like a lazy person on your bed, is that a reason why you should be goyle b'roish ha-goylim? It seems a little bit, you should be the first ones to go to exile. It seems that the punishment does not fit the crime. And thus, Rashi said that no, they're really doing horrible averos. They're being nichshol in Gili Arayos, in Mishkav Zohar, and now we can appreciate why it says the next pasuk is going to be Golos. Okay, we're out of time. This one Rashi. Hakodim means kivasim. They eat the most expensive animals. Marbeik, mekoyim kinos ha'golim. That's exactly what it says in the Mitzudos. Okay, the rest I want to dwell a little bit more, so we'll leave this in Yirtzah Hashem for Monday. The Rashi pasuk.